Is it just me, or is life really, really good when you finish a cup of bone broth and there's a chicken butt at the bottom of it? That's awesome. I love that. Chicken broth does the body good, especially in the morning after your coffee. I was going to go for the second cup, but decided, hey, I got some bone broth going. Super excited about it. And then touchdown, chicken butt. Gotta like it. All right, let's get ready for episode 2. Season 2. Right on. This is Jeffrey, your host of the Mountain Man Nutrition Podcast, Season 2, Episode 2. And this week, I actually have a podcast I recorded over the summer. Let's just say I have most of the podcast, the first 30 minutes. The second 15 or whatever happened decided to go bye-bye. So, Kate, I'm super sorry. But I hope you like the podcast anyway. And I'm gonna publish it because, hey, there's some gold here. Because Keto Kate, you could follow her on Instagram, is a nutritional therapist practitioner. She has a thriving business in Minnesota. Also, personal training. And she's got an awesome newer podcast with her friend Heidi. It's Heidi and Kate. It's the Barefoot Life podcast, where they focus on movement, they focus on food, nutrition, and the environment. So you can catch that at barefootlifepodcast.com. Give that one a listen. On this podcast, I really enjoy talking to Kate. She's so supportive of anybody in this nutrition community. This podcast really talks about family, how she got into nutrition and healed herself and helped heal her husband from cancer. And she's a mom and a wife and, you know, a businesswoman, entrepreneur, and just killing it with all things nutrition, all things life, and doing things the right way. And I was super impressed and happy to talk to her. So here we go. You can listen to the first 30 minutes of the Mountain Man Nutrition Podcast that we captured. And again, sorry, Kate, I didn't get the last part, but hey, life, we gotta just roll with the punches, don't we? All right, have a great day, and check out this podcast. Right on. Welcome to Mountain Man Nutrition, and we have Katie Newman here on the podcast today. Hi, Katie. Thank you for being on Mountain Man Nutrition Podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Jeffrey. How are you doing?
Awesome. So, like I said before, Katie, you're a nutritional therapist, practitioner, and a personal trainer, and you live this ketogenic lifestyle. How did you begin, and how did you get started into nutrition and fitness?
Okay, how long do we have? That's actually been a 20-year process and journey. I'll try to give you the short and condensed version. So 21 years ago, after the birth of my daughter, I started developing symptoms. I was quite ill for about 3 years, and in and out of the doctor's office, just like many people are with undiagnosed autoimmune diseases. I had probably most days I was very lethargic, lots of aches and pains. And I was 19, 20 years old. Like, I just did not have the energy for life. And they kept telling me I was a new mom and I was stressed and depressed and anxiety. And they tried to put me on antidepressants. And I knew, even just being young and naive in my heart, that wasn't the right answer. So I started searching on my own. I didn't really find much. My mom actually told me that it was the food and the lifestyle I was living. And I did not believe her. I had no idea that there was a correlation between how I felt and my autoimmune symptoms and the food I was eating. So fast forward 3 years past then, I finally got the diagnosis of Hashimoto's thyroiditis and went home and started Googling. And sure enough, I found the correlation between what you eat and thyroid disease and autoimmune diseases. And I literally stopped my search, got up, grabbed a garbage can, and cleaned my entire cupboards out and just switched to real food, and within like 2 weeks, I felt better. And I was like, a light bulb went off. And I was like, I need to show to the world that you do not need to be on all these drugs and do what the traditional medical doctors tell you you need to do. Because when I left the office that day, they gave me like 3 or 4 medications. And I'm like, how long do I take these? And they're like, forever. And I, you know, one for the pain, one for the inflammation, one for the thyroid. It's just like on and on and on. And so then from there, I was actually going to school for business. And I decided I was not going to be stuck in a cubicle and just, you know, a slave to that whole office life. I'm like, I need to share my knowledge, and which was very, very basic at the time, with the world. So I started searching again, back to my computer, and found a My Body Institute on Maui, Hawaii. So I got the literature back then. There wasn't really much online. They had to, you know, submit your address, and then they, you know, sent me the pamphlet and brochures, and I got in the mail. I'm like, I'm going here. I'm doing it.
Right,
so
on.
I did it. And that was my very first like big leap and step into this lifestyle. It was a Mind Body Institute. They trained personal trainers and group fitness instructors, but they really had a focus on the mind body connection. And so that was a huge benefit of going through that program. So I went through that program, came back, started personal training. And then a thought came to my mind that the rheumatologist told me when he diagnosed me, he said, just so you're prepared the rest of your life, you're going to be continuing to develop more autoimmune diseases and symptoms. And I was like, okay, I need to really make this a lifestyle and stay on top of my health so I don't continue to develop these diseases. So I thought I was doing that. I went vegetarian, and I felt great for a while because I was probably cutting out more of the processed foods and just eating like whole veggies. And that worked well for a while. And then I started cutting out the glutens, and that worked well for a while. And then I'm going to fast forward probably like 15 years.
Right.
I was declining. After the birth of my second child, I developed a lot more symptoms. I developed eosinophilic esophagitis. Are you familiar with that?
I am not.
Okay.
Interesting.
Another autoimmune disease, a nasty one to have. They call it the choking disease. Your esophagus will narrow and inflame with environmental triggers or food triggers. I got bad with nods, and I had all the symptoms of scleroderma. And I wasn't officially diagnosed, but I was friends with an internal medicine doctor, and we were hanging out for a couple of conferences and spending time together. And he went over all my symptoms and did a little evaluation, looked at my fingers and, you know, a couple of things in my body. And he goes, you are textbook classic scleroderma. So, and then I looked it up myself, and I'm like, that's what I have. I'm like, I don't need to go spend time and money at the doctor to get a diagnosis. But that really kind of motivated me to step up my game. So I was very depressed, as you may know, or your listeners may know, when you're sick day after day, week after week, year after year, you get depressed. Like, you just like lose your will to live. And I was at the point where if I don't feel better soon, I don't want to live anymore. I had 2 kids. I wasn't suicidal, but like, okay, I need to change.
No, I get it. Yeah.
Get myself better and well so I can go back to being myself and who I want to be. So I stumbled across the ketogenic diet and was a little apprehensive. My husband was in cancer remission, and I was always searching for the perfect cancer diet, and I hadn't found anything up until that point. I wasn't sold on the Gerson method. And then I started finding all the cancer benefits of the ketogenic diet, and that's actually what sparked me to go keto. I knew that I had the potential to reverse my autoimmune symptoms and make me feel better. But once I found out that it could potentially help my husband if his cancer were to ever return, I was totally on board. I dove in headfirst, like I think it was like January 3rd. And within like 2 weeks, I was on top of the world. I was like, this is amazing. I feel so good. Like, I don't wake up every day feeling depressed, achy, and in pain. I had more brain clarity. And unfortunately, I think it was around January, like 16th, 17th, my husband was diagnosed with metastatic lung cancer. So I actually, since I was feeling so good, better than I had in a couple of years, I was super positive and good. So I was really thankful that that diagnosis didn't hit a month before, because I would have been a basket case wreck. And so that really kept me focused and my head clear. And I dove more into the cancer research. He jumped on board. And we've been on this journey ever since. And now I'm very passionate about sharing all the benefits of a ketogenic diet and a lifestyle with as many people as I possibly can. So I'm very thankful for people like you that are doing, you know, have the same mission, the same passion, and helping, you know, means to get people to learn more about low carb living.
Absolutely. And thank you very much. I love the story, and it's crazy how, there's a couple things in there is you get rid of pizza and beer at the age of, like, you know, 19, 20, 23, you know, and that's that age lifestyle, of course. And your life changes, and then you keep going and you think you're doing the right thing, and you, like, something's still not working right. And then you change it a little bit, and we learn more. And then, you know, a few years later, we're going down a path and we need to learn more. This is an ongoing process that I've been going on for many years. I learn different stuff all the time, and I have to change and adjust as my body adjusts, you know, and I've learned a lot through this process, and maybe four or five different stages of healing. And of course, my healing journey is still continuing. And I love that, that you're telling the audience that it's not a, like a, you know, go on this diet for 3 months and all is well. You know, it's a lifestyle that we have to keep inputting and advancing and learning ourselves, because our bodies changes also. And that's an important note for people to understand. Like, this is, it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle. And that part of that lifestyle is change, because we will have to change it. And so thank you very much for emphasizing that in your awesome short version of your story.
Yeah, that's a very short version. You got the gist of it. So
tell us a little bit about your practice, and what does your practice look like as a nutritional therapist and a physical and teaching people to work out and move and how this stuff works together.
Yeah, so I've been personal training ever since I returned from Maui, so that's been 20 years now. So I've had a steady client base for personal training, and I've always helped my clients with lifestyle and nutrition. But once I went and studied as a nutritional therapy practitioner 4 years ago, now I have a whole wellness practice. So I have personal training clients, I have nutritional therapy clients, and then I have a mixture of both. So I would like all my nutritional therapy clients to be doing some more fitness stuff, and some more of my fitness clients to be doing more nutritional therapy. So it's just kind of trying to, you know, meet people where they're at in my practice. And I'm very fortunate. I have actually I'm in my office right now. I have an in-home office. So I see my clients in my house, and then I also see clients over the phone. And yeah, so that's my practice in a nutshell. And I really focus on the ketogenic diet with most of my clients. And people come to me specifically for keto. And maybe they just want to start transitioning to more lower carb and higher fat and paleo. And I help people navigate that whole system. And most people that I do see are starting to come off the standard American diet. And they do need help and assistance and ideas. It's overwhelming. And it doesn't have to be.
Right. That's the, you know, that's a key part of a lot of people. It was difficult. It was really easy for me at first because of, just to, like, go no carb, you know, no grain. And then to make all those adjustments later, to see the results I wanted to see, that was the more difficult part. I think for me that the quick stuff, you know, to beginning was really easy because I was super excited about the results that I wanted. And then I started seeing results like inflammation go down and this big, huge inflammation that I had in my calf that my listeners know about, you know, because it was all swollen up and I could barely walk and I cut out grains in like 12 days, it was gone and I've never had it back. And like when you see results like that, like right off the bat, it just really catapults you into, you know, happiness and like, what else can I learn? And, you know, what else do I need to do? But then when we get a little more adapted and things start moving slower, how do you manage your clients when that happens? When it's like maybe, you know, if they want to lose weight and they're only losing a pound or two a month, or, you know, they're starting to have carb cravings again, or they're missing their old lifestyle. Like later on, after this initial, this is awesome, kind of wears off. How do you coach your people, and what's your strategy on helping these people?
Yeah, and everyone is different, so that completely depends, and that's why I love what I do, because I can give my clients individual attention. I really focus a lot on their mindset and what's stopping them from getting the results. So let's say it's a weight loss goal. They're not losing weight on keto like they want. And I don't preach people to track, maybe in the beginning, because people don't have any idea how many grams of carbs and sugar are in the foods they're eating. But I really want them to eat intuitively and just not be so focused on the data and having to enter food into an app or write it down. So I try to get them to navigate through that just more intuitively. But if they're not getting results, like one of the first things I do is have them do a food journal. So I start there. And usually I almost always find the culprit. Like one time I had a client that was drinking a glass of pineapple juice before bed and had no idea that that was in keto. So just things like that. Or they're eating like a cup of nuts, or they're eating way too much dairy. Being dairy heavy and nut heavy are huge culprits to stalling or stopping weight loss, because they can be so inflammatory. And not only that, they're more, I think they're more like, especially if you're getting nuts that are salted and flavored, you're getting that hyper palatability of the food, and there's craving more, eating more, and overeating. So I start there with those clients. And then it just depends on the situation. A lot of it too is we try to go back to why they're going back into their old habits and the mindset of it and what's creating that. A lot of it's holidays, and help them, coach them through what they can do over the holidays and manage those social situations. I just address it as a case-by-case approach and see where they're at.
Right on. So I want to go in a little bit about supplements. And I had a phone call just the other day. And a new potential client called me, and we were talking a little bit. And he, he likes my approach. He's heard of it from word of mouth, you know. And so he had a basic understanding of the ketogenic diet from who he was talking to. But he'd seen a nutritionist of some sort, and that nutritionist had sold him $179 worth of supplements for a month to take these pills, and you know, these results will happen. And, I was really concerned about, you know, the guy spending this kind of money on some kind of what I perceived as some kind of a miracle pill of sorts. because, you know, obviously it was, as he explained, help regulate his blood sugar, which I think there's some great supplements out there to help that. And there's also some great foods out there to help that. But how, like, it's almost disheartening, because there's so many people out there trying to help people lose weight or manage their sugars or go on keto or do, you know, live a healthier lifestyle. But then they're, you know, they're selling them $179 worth of stuff they don't really need because they need to focus on diet at first, especially. Do you see this problem a lot? And do you have people coming to you like being almost scammed, I think? But maybe that practitioner believes that $179 worth of supplements on your first month is going to help. But I don't get it. And I'm so disappointed in that.
Everyone's looking for the magic pill, and there isn't one. And, you know, as the old saying goes, you can't supplement a bad diet. So diet is number one. And supplements I use as they state, supplements to supplement, and maybe helps assist and guide things along as you go. And, you know, as a nutritional therapy practitioner, we have a functional evaluation and neurolingual testing. So I can help dial people's supplements in. But when it comes down to it, I try my best to give them a little supplements as possible. So I try my best to avoid throwing a bunch of supplements at them. They're already changing their diet significantly. Now they have a whole cupboard full of supplements, and it's just not going to work out. They're going to be overwhelmed, and they're going to drop off and quit. So I start with food first. But when I do see small, there's things that can help them along, especially if they're coming off the standard American diet and they're showing some signs of maybe a sluggish and slow liver and gallbladder. I love to supplement to help that out and help people process and digest and absorb their fatty acids. Most people, I believe, are magnesium deficient. And so I always recommend a good quality magnesium supplement. Actually, with almost all my clients, if I had to say there's one supplement that I recommend for everyone, it's probably going to be magnesium. And I use the magnesium glycinate. I really try to get people just to change their diet, see what happens with real food and cutting out the crap. It's more about what you cut out than what you can add back in. So I get people all the time, what can I do for inflammation? How can I reduce my inflammation? Well, what are you doing to cause the inflammation is the first step.
You can't take, stop putting the stuff in.
And expect your inflammation to go away when you're, you know, snacking on Twinkies and drinking soda. So that's my approach on it. And again, it's a very bio individual approach. Everyone's different. What types of foods they're eating. If they're eating, you know, good quality fish a few days a week, I might not be so prone to give them like a fish oil supplement. And it just, you know, depends how well is their digestion. Are they absorbing their minerals? And I just go from there.
Yep. Yeah, I get that. And I, you know, digestion and of course, liver gallbladder is foremost in my mind about putting the foods in to their body that's going to help with that. And a little bit of controversy, like I always start people, even if they're going in the ketogenic diet and, you know, really cutting out their carbs, I always add beets at first because I want the nutrition of the beet into that gallbladder and that liver, even though it's a little sugary and a little starchy. You know, that's one of the things I add right off the bat because I want that gallbladder working. Because if you're eating tons of fat and your gallbladder is not working anyway, then the whole process is mute. How do you feel about like starting somebody out with a little bit of beet in the diet, as long as artichoke and, you know, I do dandelion greens as well. But that beet I think is super important. And I tell them don't buy a beet powder. You know, like eat a beet. You know, put it in your salad or put it whatever, because I want that nutrition into that gallbladder.
I think if that's what you want to approach it, I think it's perfectly fine. Are you using the beet leaves as well, like the greens? I think those have a good potential too to help support the liver and gallbladder.
Yeah, I don't.
If I were to do that in my practice, I would do the leaves, I use the beta TCP and the beta plus from Biotics.
Right.
The concentrated version. So yeah, I haven't implemented that, but are you finding that that's working for you?
I do find it does work, and it helped me as well. Is one of the things that I needed help with too, because I'd been on this, you know, no fat diet for so long, trying to lose weight back then. That you know, my gallbladder wasn't working that well. Actually, when I would eat an avocado and get sick, because that much fat at one time would make me like salivate real bad and feel real horrible, and I would actually vomit from it, which was really interesting. So after you know, adding the beets and artichoke and some dandelion greens and things like that I knew would help, it really solved that problem for me. And so I was like, well, I can utilize this. And I tell people that, you know what I mean? It's maybe it'll work for you, maybe it won't, but this is what helped me, like life experience, and using that in my practice is number one. You know, I you know, can't really coach people on doing things that I don't know that really work. So I utilize the things that worked for me.
Yeah.
Right.
And we all do that. We all, especially practitioners, we're constantly trying new things, experimenting, and we like to use what works for us and works for our clients. So if that works, I think that's great. But I think like the dandelion greens, the artichokes, the milk thistle, lemon juice, apple cider vinegar, all of that can help support the liver and gallbladder as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love this conversation because being a chef and a foodie, you know, I always coach, like, use these foods that you already have in your kitchen. Like, there's no reason to buy, like, apple cider vinegar pills or supplements when you have it in your kitchen. Don't buy, like, turmeric pills or cinnamon pills. Like, just use these things in your food. You know, you can put it in your coffee, your tea. You know, cinnamon, cumin, and paprika is an amazing spice to put on your ground beef or your pork or whatever. You know, like utilize these in your everyday cooking and use the money that you were spending on turmeric pills for a supplement that you can't really get, you know, or you're not getting enough of, like vitamin D3 or, you know, your B vitamins or something, to help your gallbladder, you know? And I think that's really important. How do you approach that, cooking with people?
I try to keep it simple. You might have a different way about doing it. When I first started keto, I was in the kitchen day in and day out, sampling recipes, trying to make it easy for my clients to transition by being able to give them personal recommendations. And now I just tell people to keep it simple. Don't overthink it, because that really stops a lot of people from doing it. They're like, oh, I see all these recipes and it just looks elaborate and lavish on Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like that. I just tell them to pick a healthy meat, a low carb, low starchy veggie, and a healthy fat. Like you said, pick your favorite spices, whatever you're in the mood for, whatever your body's craving is probably what it needs, and just make it a meal. There's just so many things. And then for breakfast, we don't eat breakfast. My husband and I fast now, but we have to cook for our children. And we just take leftover meats and chop it all up, the veggies and the meat together, and add a couple eggs, add another dollop of butter, and there's the breakfast. Like, that's mainly what we do on a day-to-day basis.
I love that. Because the family system is a whole different ballgame. When you're on diet, and it's awesome that you and your husband are like paired and you got the same goal and you're feeding the kids that way. And that's difficult for some people because some, you know, wives are more carby or husbands are more carby and it's hard to get them on board. You know, like my wife is, you know, kind of low carb, not keto at all. But she loves the keto coffee, that type of stuff. And she loves the meats and vegetables, but she also likes to eat some bread every now and again or some rice every now and again. And that's difficult for me to have that in the house. How do you handle or what's your advice maybe for listeners who have a partner that's not necessarily on board with them? How do you coach people through that?
That's actually my client's number one problem is to navigate their family and their friends and the workspace. It's challenging. I'm very blessed and fortunate to have my husband on board. You know, it was unfortunate circumstances, but I actually think it was a blessing in disguise. Some of our biggest fights between my husband and I is so silly, was over food and what we're going to feed our kids. And now we no longer have that issue. So his cancer diagnosis has actually made our family dynamics and our relationship so much better. Yeah, so it's kind of been a blessing in disguise. So I'm grateful for that. And I am a carb addict. So if someone does bring food around and see it and people are crunching on it, eating it, it's really hard for me to resist. So I'm so glad that we don't bring it into the house at all. Yeah, and it's challenging for my clients. I take it on an individual basis. Like, okay, so your husband wants bread for dinner. Okay, so whatever it may be, just omit the bread. Just make sure you're giving yourself adequate fats and minerals and making sure you're satisfied. And they're just going to have to commit and get over that mental hurdle and think about their health long term rather than that, you know, bite of food that might satisfy them for 30 seconds. So I try to articulate that to them as best I can.
Yeah.
And think about their long term goals. And you know, how much satisfaction is that bite of food gonna make, you know, actually give, and how are you gonna feel the next day when you wake up feeling inflamed and you know, you
full
and try to get
I think that the feeling afterward is the best deterrent. Is, you know, you eat a couple pieces of bread and if you haven't had bread in a week to 6 months, it really affects you. You know, it's blatantly obvious. So sometimes it's almost a, you know, helpful to have a client eat it and go, oh, that's the worst feeling ever, and then get right back on track and it does help. What do you feel about and being a, you know, really holistic food, like say keto bread or and it doesn't matter for me if it's egg based or protein powder based or Phelim husk or whatever. If I have, and I don't know why, and I haven't figured this out yet, but if I have a piece of that or a roll or a slice of this bread, I want the whole loaf. I want like 5 loaves, man. And I'll just throw the butter on there and like eat the whole thing. And I get it's keto or, you know, low carb or what have you with no gluten, but it just triggers something in me where I just want to eat it all. Have you ever experienced that?
No,
being a carb addict?
For myself as well. That's why we started going more simple. I think just the texture, and it kind of does mimic that starchiness in the mouth and kind of gives you that feeling again of having those carbs back, and you're just like, it just triggers that addiction signal in your brain. So yeah, we've cut out pretty much all of the keto breads, and once in a while I try to do less of this wrap now, but once in a while my husband will make some of the like egg and cheese, like tortillas for tacos, but I'd rather just make a taco bowl or use a lettuce wrap. And I have clients that are really, really hung up on giving up bread. And so I will recommend them make a couple versions of keto bread to get started. But once you get going, people, they don't miss the bread any longer, and they don't really see the need to continue to spend all this time in making keto bread.
Yeah.
So unless it's a special occasion, we just
don't even do it.
We just eat simple.
Yeah.
You know, I try to coach my clients that as well.
That's the conclusion I had. I'll still make cookies for the kids. And I have a cookie or two, but that's pretty rough too. Like a keto cookie with, and I use like, a nut butter, you know, so that's not so bad for them. But it still triggers me. So I got to be really careful, but I'd rather have them, you know, craving a, you know, nut butter keto cookie than a, you know, an Oreo or something. So, but it's,
yeah,
it,
definitely.
It's definitely tough.
Keto treats for the kids as well. Have you dabbled with the carnivore diet at all, or just ate carnivore?
Sometimes I do eat a little carnivore, but I tell you, truthfully, I feel better when I get the vegetables in me. When I get some leafy greens or some cauliflower, you know, asparagus, things like that, I tend to feel a little bit better. I wonder though if I did the long term that it would, project me into a lot of a lower weight. Than I am. Cause I lose maybe a pound or two a month. And that could get frustrating, for me because I feel like I need to be dropping a lot more. And actually now that the family's gone, it's a whole lot easier because I'm not, I'm not cooking for them, which doesn't trigger. And I intermittent fast as well, which is a huge help. Because I actually, if I eat breakfast in the morning, I get hungry all day long. Even if it's just bacon and eggs, I'm hungry all day long. Where if I don't eat breakfast, you know, if I eat my first meal between noon and 2 o'clock, I eat another meal and I'm just fine and I'm done and there's no issue. You know, so
the more we talk, the more I realize you're like my twin. I'm the same exact way.
Right? So
the reason why I asked about carnivore is I haven't done it long term, but I'm a recovering vegetarian. So for me to eat a lot of meat is very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually wouldn't call myself completely recovered until probably about like 6 or 8 months ago. It was really hard for me to eat meat. I had to force myself. And now I no longer do. But when I would just eat meat, I would eat very little of meat and feel super satisfied. I'm like, oh, I'm done. I can't eat anymore. So that got me really thinking about the hyperpalatability of food. So the more foods and textures and flavors, the more that signals your hunger to want to crave and eat more, I believe. So keeping it simple, I think, is one of the...
Hey, this is Jeffrey with Mountain Man Nutrition again. And if you like the podcast you just heard, tell a friend. Share it on Facebook, share it on Instagram, share it on Twitter, wherever you can share it, tell somebody who can benefit from it, because that's why I'm here and that's why I'm doing this podcast, is to benefit as many people as possible. Millions and millions of Americans have suffered from type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance, and continue to suffer. So if we can benefit them in any way, shape, or form with this podcast, I want to do that. So please share it with your friends. Get on iTunes and give me a 5-star rating if you liked it, 5 stars. And then write a little blog about it or a little say something about it so other people can find it that you're not sharing it with. You know, the more people who listen, the more benefit we can do for others, and you can be a part of that. And I'm asking you to be part of that. So let's share this podcast as often as possible. Thank you very much, and good wishes to you.